You're listening to an African Elements top news story for August 25, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. Why millions lost SNAP benefits and who pays the price? Across the United States, a quiet crisis is unfolding at kitchen tables and grocery checkouts. Over the past 12 months, federal data reveals that more than 4 million people have lost access to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance program, widely known as SNAP. Among those removed from the rolls are more than 1 million children. Families who rely on these modest monthly allotments now face impossible choices between buying food, paying utility bills, or keeping a roof overhead. Advocates and policy researchers emphasize that this mass reduction is not the result of sudden economic prosperity. Instead, it stems from sweeping administrative changes, aggressive state-level re-evaluations, and expanded mandatory work reporting rules. As grocery prices remain high, the sudden removal of assistance creates immediate distress in vulnerable neighborhoods. Black, Latino, and deep poverty households are bearing the heaviest burden of these policy decisions. To understand the current crisis, one must examine the origins of federal food assistance during the Great Depression. On May 16, 1939, the federal government launched the first food stamp plan in Rochester, New York. Conceived by Secretary of Agriculture Henry Wallace and Administrator Milo Perkins, the program addressed two simultaneous problems. Farmers had excess crops that were driving down market prices, while millions of unemployed urban families suffered from severe hunger. Beneficiaries purchased general food stamps and received bonus blue stamps specifically for surplus farm commodities. However, early food programs were never neutral in their execution. During the New Deal era, federal lawmakers routinely allowed Southern officials to administer relief locally. This arrangement protected the plantation economy in the Deep South. Local county committees deliberately withheld food aid and commodity distributions during harvest and planting seasons. White landowners used this power to force black tenant farmers and sharecroppers back into low-wage agricultural labor. The legacy of this system of sharecropping demonstrated how food access could function as an instrument of economic coercion. President Lyndon B. Johnson made food assistance permanent by signing the Food Stamp Act of 1964 as part of the War on Poverty. Yet, the program included a major structural barrier called the purchase requirement. Under this rule, poor households had to pay upfront cash to receive their allotment of stamps. Families living in extreme poverty frequently had zero cash income, which locked them out of the program entirely. Grassroots organizing by black-led civil rights groups brought this injustice to national attention. In January 1969, the Black Panther Party launched its Free Breakfast for Children program in Oakland, California. The Panthers fed thousands of hungry children every morning before school, exposing the complete failure of federal programs to protect vulnerable youths. Concurrently, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference organized the 1968 Poor People's Campaign, demanding an end to cash purchase mandates for federal food stamps. These persistent organizing efforts forced lawmakers to take direct legislative action. Activists testified before the Senate Select Committee on Nutrition and Human Needs, detailing severe malnutrition across the rural South. The pressure culminated in the Food and Agriculture Act of 1977, signed by President Jimmy Carter. The landmark law eliminated the purchase requirement, established uniform national eligibility standards, and allowed millions of destitute families to access food assistance without cash barriers. The philosophical foundation of the modern safety net shifted dramatically in 1996. President Bill Clinton signed the Personal Responsibility and Work Opportunity Reconciliation Act, commonly known as welfare reform. This legislation fundamentally altered public assistance by introducing strict time limits and work mandates. For food stamps, the act created the category of able-bodied adults without dependents, or ABAWDs. Under the 1996 rules, adults between 18 and 49 without minor children could only receive 3 months of benefits in a 36-month period unless they documented 80 hours of monthly work. This provision turned bureaucratic verification into a tool for reducing caseloads. In 2008, Congress renamed the program SNAP and replaced paper stamps with electronic benefit transfer cards. Nevertheless, the underlying work reporting mechanism remained intact, waiting to be expanded in future legislative battles. Recent federal policy shifts have raised the mandatory work reporting age ceiling up to 54, with further proposals targeting adults up to 64 and parents of teenagers. Consequently, state agencies face immense pressure to audit caseloads rapidly. To avoid federal financial penalties linked to payment error rates, many states have instituted aggressive recertification protocols. These administrative actions confuse errors made by agency caseworkers with recipient fraud. This dynamic fuels a destructive process known as administrative churn. Churn occurs when eligible people lose their benefits due to bureaucratic obstacles rather than a true increase in income. For low-income individuals, navigating this paperwork creates an exhausting time tax. Working mothers and hourly laborers must wait on agency phone lines for hours, track down missing payslips, or visit county offices during standard work shifts. When a state agency experiences computer glitches or mail delays, families are terminated automatically without warning. The burden of these reporting mandates falls heavily on Black and brown workers due to persistent labor market segmentation. Systemic occupational crowding historically channels Black workers into frontline service, food service, warehousing, and gig jobs. These secondary labor markets offer little job security, low hourly pay, and erratic schedules that change from week to week. The tension between state versus federal authority often worsens these outcomes, as individual states decide how strictly to enforce work rules. When an employer cuts an employee from 25 hours down to 15 hours during a slow week, that worker cannot meet the required 80-hour monthly threshold. The worker is penalized twice, first by losing wages, and second by losing food assistance. Furthermore, gig economy drivers and delivery workers are classified as independent contractors. Documenting irregular earnings every 30 days becomes a paperwork nightmare that frequently leads to procedural disqualification. These exclusionary policies penalize low-income workers for conditions completely out of their control. The racial wealth gap significantly magnifies the harm caused by benefit terminations. According to Federal Reserve data, the median wealth of white families sits at approximately $285,000, compared to just $44,900 for Black families. Centuries of redlining, discriminatory lending, and wage disparities have stripped Black households of liquid savings. When an unexpected benefit cutoff occurs, these families do not have emergency cash reserves to cushion the blow. Instead, they are forced into deep cycles of debt, falling behind on rent or turning to predatory payday lenders. Although federal rules nominally protect children when an adult is sanctioned, households function as shared economic units. When a parent loses $180 in monthly grocery funding, the overall household budget collapses. Parents regularly skip meals so their children can eat, but grocery shortfalls inevitably reduce the nutrition available to everyone in the home. In states like Louisiana and Texas, procedural reviews have caused hundreds of thousands of children to lose coverage entirely. Terminating parental aid pushes entire families into severe food insecurity and heightened eviction risk. The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program is supposed to serve as a vital counter-cyclical stabilizer. During economic downturns, safety net programs should automatically expand to inject purchasing power directly into local economies and protect households from poverty. USDA research shows that every dollar spent on SNAP generates over $1.50 in local economic activity. Transforming this essential lifeline into a maze of punitive paperwork undermines both public health and economic resilience. Charitable food banks and religious pantries cannot replace the scale of federal nutrition programs. Community organizations across the nation are already stretched beyond capacity as lines wrap around city blocks. The historical record makes one truth abundantly clear. True food security is never achieved by imposing bureaucratic hurdles on the poor. Ensuring that every family has reliable access to nourishing food requires removing arbitrary work reporting barriers and defending the social safety net for future generations. Copyright, African Elements.